Hello and welcome to another edition of Center Circle Live. Marty Thompson, Armin Badakian, and Holly Williams with you. The fall season is upon us here in the 2019 CPL season.
Yeah, the leaves are starting to change colors and they're starting to fall. It's yeah, the beginning of fall in July, so it's nice. Definitely doesn't feel like a fall season, does it?
No, but that's when it ends, of course, in October. Three matches this weekend, which got the fall season underway. We'll start with the very first one at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday at Tim Hortons Field. Forge 1, FC Edmonton 2. The Eddies start with 3 points in their first game of the fall season.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice little result for FC Edmonton. 4 wins in a row now. This is a pretty awesome accomplishment, considering they had lost like 4 games, 5 games in a row. So, I mean, you know, if you're Jeff Paulus, you're going into this exactly where you want right now. You're hot, you're in form, and you kick off your fall campaign with a big, big win against a Forge team that, I mean, is definitely a contender. So it's a good day to be an Edmonton fan. I think Forge probably will be unhappy with this result. They're going to go back to the drawing board and be like, guys, what can we do to not have this happen? Because once again, it was like it was a similar story of Forge's individual talent seemed like they were okay. They were producing shots. They were attacking well. But it's just that last little bit of like spark, that last like defense unlocking pass that they just continually miss. And Edmonton just soaked it all up and we're just like, yeah, we'll take 3 points. Thank you very much.
Edmonton with just the one shot on target from the Tomi Amiobi goal, the header. And then we've got to talk about that that freak own goal from Tristan Henry. Bobby Smyrniotis. Yeah,
called it a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
How would you describe that?
I would describe it as a once-in-a-lifetime
experience.
It's fair. Things like that don't happen. For those of you who didn't see it, it was a cross into the box by Asua, I believe, Geno Asua, and Tristan Henry like seemed to be okay. There was not too much pressure in front of him, and then he just palms it backwards into his own net. Like it slipped right through his fingers, and I'm not 100% sure what he saw on it, but
kind of dove towards it at the near post, and it just went the other way. It was strange.
It was David De Gea-esque.
Hey. Yeah, own goals are definitely not as common, especially for goalkeepers. But, you know, yeah, to say it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience is kind of accurate.
Do you remember that one goal? I don't know if you guys remember this. There was like a goal where like a player passes it back. I think it was like the England goalkeeper at the time. Might have been in a World Cup too. It's like a
like
back
Paul
pass.
Paul Robinson?
Yeah. It was a back pass and like Robinson like,
yeah,
I just
like
it and just
missed it.
So, yeah. But you are right, Holly. There's very few own goals that are like critically 100% the goalkeeper's fault, and that was 100% Tristan Henry's fault. But you know what? One shot on goal, Edmonton wins 2-1. Like, you'll take it any day of the week, really.
And Forge now with 2 losses in a row, lost to Edmonton to close out the fall season. Mm-hmm. What did you see from them on the weekend, Holly? Obviously, they, you know, lots of chances, a gorgeous goal that Marcel Zajac set up for Jace Kostopoulos, but I guess not the best start to the fall.
No, it's not, but I don't see any signs of worry just yet for Forge. You know, in my opinion, they are probably one of the best teams, and obviously their second place finish in the standings kind of showed that. We could talk about how they could have won the title if, you know, Cavalry dropped some points in the last 2 games. But if we look at their recent gameplay, they haven't really dropped off in quality, in my opinion.
It's fair.
Just kind of, you know, other teams catching up, and maybe just at the wrong time they drop 2 games. So
there definitely is an element of other teams catching up. I think the fall has more contenders, like clear contenders anyways, than the spring did. The spring became a 2-horse race pretty quickly, and then Edmonton kind of surged into it at the end there. But when you look at teams like York 9, HFX, even Pacific, I mean, all these teams are capable. And then the other thing is, how long can a Valor slump really last too? You know, like that team has so many good attacking midfield pieces that they could easily win a few matches in a row as well. So I think things have opened up. Teams are starting to gel in a good way, and we're going to start to see some real quality in these matchups moving forward.
The spring title winners, Cavalry, were also in action on the weekend to open the fall in a rematch of the Canada Day spectacle. I would call it at West Hill Stadium against Pacific FC. 3-1 last week for Pacific, and then 3-2 this week for Calgary in another good game.
Yeah, Cavalry really came out of this one with better pieces anyways. There was more of their regular starters on the field. and it was clear that they wanted to kick off their fall campaign. I think there was like a worry. It was like, will Cavalry really take the fall seriously, or will they use it to experiment? But I think that Tommy Wheeldon Jr. is not the kind of manager to like really pull back on the pedal anyways. And then the other thing is like, this is a first year. So you want as many wins as you can so that you build that foundation, that fan base, that excitement around your team. So I think this was a good indication of what we're going to see from Cavalry, which is, I think, still a pretty dominant showing. But that being said, I'm curious about that back line because it's now leaked a few goals in the last two games, more goals than they've maybe conceded throughout several weeks of action. And it's almost a question of, is there weaknesses? Are teams starting to figure out this Cavalry team?
Well, that Ben Fisk goal was interesting. Like, just like two flick-ons, I think. And then went between the wickets on it.
Yeah, but the Sergio Camargo goal, like, seconds later was...
Yeah. Well, the Taron Campbell goal at the end there, and I think like the 82nd minute, it was a great play. And again, like, it's just, you know, finding a bit of width and Pacific FC, you know, nearly tied it, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see the way that Pacific FC approached this match because there was definitely more confidence. They'd just beaten Cavalry a couple days ago. So the Taron Campbell goal, I think, was a good little consolation at the end, but I think this was a more professional showing from Cavalry anyways. It was more of the regular starters. And then by the time it becomes 3-1, it becomes too much of a mountain to climb, especially with just like 15, 20 minutes left in that game. So kudos to Cavalry. They came in, they got their job done, they got the 3 points. It was a good day for Alberta. So it's a good day for Camargo. He's now the top scorer, five goals, and his second goal, I believe, was interestingly celebrated.
Yeah, so, let's talk about the celebrations, Armin. You had an interesting tweet. Just go off, you know, go off on it.
Cavalry is the only team that celebrates their goals good.
Yeah, maybe.
No, they have fun with it. Like, nobody, everybody else is like so professional about it. They're like, ah, yes, I've just scored a goal. Let us all congratulate one another. And Cavalry is like, we have a synchronized dance that we'd like to show you. Arms crossed. Play the hip hop. Like, what
was
that?
The arms crossing was great. Yeah. It was like an iconic CPL moment in 2019.
I made it my phone wallpaper.
Oh, you won't want to tell any of the Edmonton fans that.
The lock screen. That's exactly what it is. You shall not pass.
And then the third match from Saturday, HFX taking down York 9-1-0. The Wanderers making do with a makeshift lineup and getting the result.
Yeah, I think makeshift is going to be the theme for the HFX Wanderers throughout the campaign. Unless they can get Luis Alberto Perea and Juan Diego Gutierrez back consistently, I think this is what we're going to see from them, is just a lot of variable pieces and a lot of roles. And Stephen Hart even said it. He's like, all I can ask from my guys is that they make themselves available and versatile as much as they can. And that's what they're doing. I think Akeem Garcia is definitely a good piece to have because he's so versatile. And the same with Mo Kuruma. He's typically being played as a left winger, but he's free roaming up top. And then I think the real beauty of it is Code Aida, because having like a really good direct number 10 like that spares you a lot of your attacking woes. If HFX was set up in more of a 4-4-2 where there wasn't that kind of middle orchestrator, I think the team would be in dire straits right now. But having him, having versatile attacker wingers, it's a situation where they can wait for pieces to come back and they should be okay.
If you ever listen to Stephen Hart, like post game on One Soccer, and he'll break, you know, the game down for reporters or whoever's there, he'll always mention Code Aida.
Yep.
Because that's just so key to the way that he wants to get the ball up the field.
Yeah, and that's exactly where their strength is, which is right down the middle. I mean, there is a lot of teams, like, I think Cavalry does a good job of being pretty dynamic. FC Edmonton has now got their two strikers, so they have their own approach, but HFX is very much like, this is going right down the middle and we're going to overwhelm you with the speed on the left. But you don't really see too much, like Zella Langwa does it a little bit, but you don't see the overlapping fullbacks too much. It's very straightforward, traditional, but like, you need a number 10 to be able to do it, and they have the right guy to do it. So once I'd be really intensely interested to see what happens when you have Luis Alberto Perea, Thomas Skubelek, and Juan Diego Gutierrez back healthy, and what that team can look like. Because if you attack down the middle that way with all those pieces, you can be a real handful.
Perea and Gutierrez trained last week, didn't play. Hart thought he could maybe get 20 minutes out of them, but decided not to. Quickly on York 9, obviously Roger Thompson with the mistake that led to that goal. But again, York 9 failed to score despite the chances.
Yeah, it's becoming kind of a theme for York 9. I know Jamie Brennan is confident that goals will come in. Like we saw against Valor, we know that they're capable of scoring. So I think the upcoming Canadian Championship game is maybe not a great litmus test for this team's offense, because that's just a hard team to break down. It's just a whole other level. But the next 3 weeks, I think, will be telling for York 9. If they fail to score, if they go into another bit of a slump, I think it's time for Jimmy Brennan to look to that transfer window and look for other options, because, I mean, it's kind of crunch time for this team right now.
I also just think that they kind of have to start taking more chances and fighting harder inside of the box. You know, a lot of the times, like, they're the team with the highest shots outside of the box.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they need to do, is just fight harder for those opportunities.
Yeah, their two main chances on Saturday were kind of these sort of like half, like, you know, almost like the player's leaning back when he shoots, like, yeah, those types of chances, which, you know, Williams caught both of those. So, yeah, it's interesting to see.
There was also that Manny Aparicio on the near post, where he'll definitely want another look at that one. But it's interesting, though, that we're having this discussion, because this is exactly what Edmonton went through, didn't they? They were just shooting from the wrong spots. So maybe York 9 can reassess whether they're taking, like, you know, one touch too early, or maybe they have room for maybe one more line-breaking pass, and they have the pieces for it. I think they definitely have, like, the personnel to pull it off. But it's just a matter of, like, you know, set pieces aren't going to always be there for you, and that's kind of always a coin toss. So how do you become more of a threat on the open play? That's something Jimmy Brennan's going to have to figure out. And having a defender for a manager can be very, like, helpful when you're trying to solidify things. I think defensively the team's really solid. We spoke to Samuel Piette today, as well as Shamit Shomi, and both of them said that they expect York 9 FC to be a defensively sound team. But it's just a matter of how do you convert on your front foot. So that's kind of the question they'll be dealing with. I think the next 3 weeks will be telling.
So moving on from the CPL to the Canadian Championship, qualifying round 3, leg 1. It's finally CPL's turn to go up against MLS sides.
It's MLS's turn to go up against CPL sides. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll start with York 9 versus Montreal Impact at York Lion Stadium. That's on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's going to be a take on Ontario versus Quebec. We've already seen some version of it with York 9 versus Blainville, but this is kind of the big boy, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of a deviation on the 401 Derby.
This is 401 Derby with detours.
Yeah, you got to hit a different highway to get up to York.
Not going down to Lakeshore, but you are hitting up York Lion Stadium, which is just north of the, you know, city center of Toronto. And I think this is going to be a game where we're going to see really what York 9 is made out of. I think if there's one game that they can define a season by, it'll be Wednesday. It's just a statement game for them. They need a result. And I think going into Stade Saputo is really, really tough. But they have the defensive pieces to be able to bunker down at least. And I don't think Ignacio Piatti or Safir Taider have been particularly clinical. I think they've only accounted for like 10 goals between them over like 14, 15 games or something like that.
Yeah, Montreal hasn't had the best year. But
more
they've,
than that, yeah.
Yeah, they've been okay.
Well, I mean, they're fourth in the East, but that East is like kind of a toss-up right now anyways. But I think what we're going to get out of this game, the one at York Lion Stadium, is a tough test. I think the Impact guys we spoke to, Piet and Shomi, both agreed that they're expecting York 9 to come out and be a tough team to play up against. And really, it's going to come down to goal scoring. I know we just talked about it, but like if York 9 can capitalize on a set piece or two, I mean, the opportunity's there, you know? I don't think this Impact team is leaps and bounds better. Now, the big problem is like Piatti can have a game, you know, or Taider can have a game, or I mean, there's pieces there that can punish you. But if York 9 can get on the board early, I don't know. There's a chance.
Well, and I wouldn't want to be Montreal in the idea of trying to get an away goal at York on a small pitch when maybe York 9's thinking, well, if we're having trouble scoring, maybe Jimmy Brennan's going to kind of reel some of his players back and try to really lock it down. Yeah. I would be, you know, especially 60 minutes in, you don't have an away goal. I, you know, would maybe be worried about that.
Plus, there's some TFC like magic that occurs anytime there's like a Canadian Championship game between TFC and Montreal. So, you know, Ryan Telfer's there. Jimmy Brennan's kind of got it. Manny Aparicio's kind of got it. So who knows, man? Maybe there's like a chance. Maybe there's like a little bit of extra motivation for these guys to show, now that they have this new environment that they're in, that they are still worthy of, you know, rising to the occasion. I think out of the three matchups, this has the potential to answer the most questions.
Moving on to another tie, a second tie on Wednesday, Cavalry hosting Vancouver. It's the best in the CPL versus the third best MLS Canadian team.
Ooh, gauntlet throwdown. well, they are second last from in the Western Conference, and they're among the three Canadian MLS teams. They have the lowest points total, I believe.
Coming off of a 6-1 loss to LAFC.
Yeah, LAFC, where Marc-Anthony Kay just absolutely ravished them. I think that is an interesting lesson for Cavalry FC. It's the fact that LAFC's high press was so effective against this Whitecaps team. And especially on the left flank, where that Ali Adnan, their newest signing, is very promising young player, but he alone cannot shore up an entire left side that needs help. So if you're Nico Pasquadi and you're Elijah Adekugbe, for example, that left flank or Cavalry's right flank looks really promising to attack down. And if you can high press and force turnovers the way that Marc-Anthony Kay did for LAFC, there's an opportunity for you there too. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like all three of these matchups were exactly the teams that you'd want to go up against. You know, like Cavalry probably wanted the Whitecaps. Mm-hmm. It's, I would say, the most statistically, or maybe the best odds of a result come out of this particular matchup, because I think Cavalry is capable of upsetting, where maybe the other teams still have like issues to figure out internally, whether you know they're scoring or their injury woes. Cavalry's a strong team and they're ready to take it to them. So I'm expecting to see the most evenly contested matchup in this one.
I almost find that Cavalry though could like kind of jump on a wounded Whitecaps coming off like a 6-1 loss. That's a huge, you know, blow to your mentality, right? So either the Whitecaps will kind of come out more guns a-blazing, or they will have their tails in between their legs, so to speak. And I think Cavalry will read that right away and then capitalize on any advantage they might have.
I don't think the pieces that Cavalry have are that much less in quality, if at all. Like, these guys are not bad players, you know? Like, they're very, very capable of going toe-to-toe with some of these Whitecaps guys over 90 minutes. Like, the Whitecaps don't have anybody that, like, is particularly scary, except maybe Jordi Reyna, you know? Mm. And there are pieces that they have to watch for. I mean, there's a reason that it's an MLS team in the end of the day, so it's not like, you know, you're playing against the same level of competition just because of how much history is there and how that team has sort of come together in this tournament before. But, I mean, it's the Whitecaps, you know? Like, they're not the most fortuitous in this tournament. They're coming off, like, as Holly said, a pretty confidence, like, shaking result against LAFC. So, man, I think there's an opportunity here at Spruce Meadows. I don't want to jinx it or anything, but 6-1 Cavalry.
Wow, okay. HFX hosting Ottawa Fury in the third and final tie of qualifying round 3 at Wanderers Grounds. First off, we should mention, sold out Wanderers Grounds on the weekend. Sunny Halifax, oh, looked like such a fun time.
It is probably the premier away destination right now amongst fans. I mean, we hear it all the time that everybody wants to go to Halifax, and all they're doing is living up to it. I mean, there's a pregame march. It's really cool to see. I mean, they're loving it over there.
There's a fanzine out there. If anyone in Halifax has a copy of that, it had like soup recipes in it, had the Privateers like songbook.
Didn't have like Kurt Larson or something.
Yeah.
Please send that to us if there's an actual copy.
Is Wanderers Grounds the toughest place to play in Canada right now?
Probably when it comes to atmosphere and environment, yes. But the problem is, it's just such a friendly place that it's like, it's not really intimidating.
don't do the East Coast lifestyle on it. Come on.
It's not like you're stepping into a lion's den. You're stepping into the kitchen, and yeah, it's loud, but it's also pretty festive, and the weather's usually pretty good. Like, the atmosphere is pretty good. So to be honest, like, players will always say, you know, like, all away trips are just a matter of focusing on ourselves and it's just a matter of getting our game. But I can't imagine an away team is going in there going like, yeah, this is a terrifying place to play, like the Estadio Azteca or whatever, like where you get bags of stuff thrown at you that I'm not going to mention. Like, Halifax is friendly. I don't know. It's a nice place.
So Ottawa Fury head east to Halifax. They're having an okay year. Carl Hauer scored and their 1-1 draw with Red Bulls on the weekend. Red Bulls 2, I should say. Their playoff team probably in the hunt for a direct quarterfinal berth in the playoffs in the USL Championship. But it's obvious to say that Ottawa Fury are the weaker of the three non-CPL teams in this round. But how do you rate their chances? I mean, HFX coming in, obviously, as we mentioned, makeshift in a tough situation with their squad. But what kind of chance do you give them here?
I'm not really sure what to like how to rate them because they do have good pieces. Like there's a guy Moore Sam who's pretty good. He's got like 7 goals in 14 games. I mean, they obviously have some quality, but at the same time, like you look up and down at that lineup and it doesn't look particularly better than any CPL team. I think this is a pretty even matchup. I don't see that there's a huge level of quality gap. Ultimately, what it will come down to is can HFX rise to the occasion? They'll need to do it at home. I think that's one of the keys to the game is this first leg is more important to them than that second leg. Halifax needs to get a good, healthy margin and then take that back to TD Place and hold it. Because otherwise, I think it's just the injuries and the circumstance that they find themselves in is just internally a harder obstacle to overcome than the actual opponent they're facing. But then the other thing that you look at is, you know, there's no Canadian cap in the Canadian Championship. So Stephen Hart can turn to as many internationals as he wants, which can be good for experience. I mean, he has a lot of players that, you know, are ready for the occasion. Jan Michael Williams has been in these kinds of circumstances all throughout his career for Trinidad and Tobago.
Coming off a good game on the weekend.
Yeah, and then you have Akeem Garcia who's in form, Kodaida is in form. So there's opportunities there too. Like, I know I keep saying it. I know I've repeated myself across the board on this, but I think all of these matchups, there's not like a clear favorite except maybe that Impact game at Stade Saputo. Other than that, I think it's really wide open.
And again, the first leg of those qualifying round three ties on Wednesday, HFX versus Ottawa, Y9 versus the Montreal Impact, and Cavalry taking on Vancouver, all on One Soccer.
On One Soccer. Too bad One Soccer's commentators don't include that Haitian dude from that Canada like national team stream. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I feel like 30 people who are listening to this actually know who we're talking about, but there was like a stream of the men's national team.
It was floating around Twitter for a bit.
Yeah, it was kind of floating around on Twitter there for a second. I might have watched like 30 seconds of it just to see what it was. And
I left it on. I left it on well after the game was over.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
The commentary is interesting. Just kind of one guy talking the entire time, no breaths.
Literally like 90 words per second.
And then there was a co-commentator who would just say maybe five or six words every once in a while, yelling. And then the other guy wouldn't stop. And there were these lower third graphics that were just
advertising random things. Yeah.
Coming and going. I loved it. It was great.
I've never seen a soccer game like that. Let's hire those guys.
If you want a headache while you're watching a game. But.
Oh, you know I do. So in this third segment, Marty almost read these questions out loud to him, and I insisted that he keep them a surprise. So we're listening to this for the first time. We got some trivia or some questions. What are you doing?
I'm just trying to help. That's all. I should note that Armin, when we were walking into the studio, he just stops and says, I feel like we just did this.
Yeah, it was last Tuesday we recorded one.
I hope you wouldn't have the same reaction next week.
Yeah.
Come on. This should be something you're looking forward to.
Oh, I love this. That's not what I meant. It just felt soon.
Okay. Marty's three big questions here. Number one, which CPL team wins their home Canadian championship tie on Wednesday?
All three.
Yeah, okay, interesting. So. Who has the best chance? If you were going to put your money on one?
I think Cavalry probably wins theirs.
That's Bruce Meadows. Okay.
And then maybe HFX. I would say those two are, I think the York 9-1 either ends in a draw or a loss. It's just too big a hurdle to overcome. Montreal's a good team. Like, the only one that I can feasibly see happening like as a win is Cavalry versus Whitecaps. That HFX one, they're too injury plagued.
I think I'm gonna go with HFX on it just because I don't really think that Ottawa is that good.
Well, then there's that, yeah.
And I, you know, York 9 would need to score.
Yeah.
So that's putting your money against that too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What are you gonna pick, Holly?
I was gonna say HFX as well, just because playing at Wanderers Ground, they clearly are pretty good at home, and I think out of all three ties, that might be the one that they would come out on top both legs.
Okay, question.
So all three.
Yeah.
Question two, so sticking with York 9, how many goals does York 9 score this week? They're playing, as we mentioned, Montreal, and then they are at home to FC Edmonton as well in the league.
That's a tough one. Let's say three. I think they'll score one against Montreal and two against Edmonton.
Interesting.
And I think they win the Edmonton game because I don't know. Edmonton winning 5 in a row would be a pretty big feat, and I think York 9 has another win in them. So, yeah, let's go with 3 goals.
I think Rodrigo Gattis is going to score once, and then that's it. Probably in the Canadian Championship.
I'll go for 2, 1 in each game.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, yeah. That's fair.
We'll circle back to this one.
They're going to score like week. 8.
Yeah.
And of course, we had Canada Day. Now we're going into the Canadian Championship. You know, it's about that time to reflect on the nation that call home.
What's going on here?
Question number 3. It's not, you know, there's no right or wrong answer here, Armin. What's a piece of Canadian culture that you've been enjoying recently?
Canadian culture.
There is a wrong answer.
Canada Day, I usually tend to, you know, like.
What did I do on Canada Day? I had a barbecue, kind of.
We worked.
Yeah, so three my matches, barbecue was more like there was leftovers when I came home. Does that count? I feel like that doesn't count. What did I do that's Canadian recently?
Food, music, anything like that.
I don't drink
like
Tim Hortons. I don't drink coffee at all. So, I listened to like a lot of Drake over the weekend. Does that count?
Yeah, I would.
On purpose. Like I listen. Okay, that's my answer. That's my answer. I listened to like 3 or 4 albums just to like listen to them all the way through.
Again, yeah. Which one's your favorite?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot here. I would say, you know what? I really like More Life. I know it's like a EP, kind of a mixtape thing, but it's, I don't know. It's a good vibe. It's a good.
Take Care.
It's got to be Take Care, man. Take Care is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It's so emo.
I feel like we've literally lost any audience we had outside of Ontario. I promise we're listening to Alberta rappers too.
No. Take care went worldwide. Holly, how about you?
I'll go with the classic. I had a family barbecue as well on Family Day. Just had the family over, and then my uncle does fireworks every year, so I think kind of, you know, classic Canadian.
That's nice.
On it's July up there, 1st.
Yeah, nice fireworks. So I mentioned Blue Rodeo and Gordon Lightfoot last episode. And I didn't really elaborate on it, but you know, every Canada Day, I tend to like listen to a bunch of Canadian music. Blue Rodeo is so good. Okay, don't look past 5 days in July. Go deeper than that.
Wow.
Okay, that's it for us. I got the final word on that one. 3 games in the Canadian Championship: HFX against Ottawa, York 9 against Montreal, and then Cavs hosting Vancouver Whitecaps. And then on Saturday, HFX hosting Cavalry, Pacific hosting Forge, and then York 9, as we mentioned, hosting FC Edmonton, all on One Soccer.
And if you are the Haitian commentators, please do not hesitate to reach out. We want to hear from you.
Okay, see you guys next week.